Okay, I'm trying to use the PowerPoint today for the first time in my life, so I'm trying to do it. I was praying about the subject I chose, and I was really asking the Lord to give me some confirmation that this is what we want to talk about today. I think the Lord was so gracious that he gave me all the confirmation I need. This whole morning meeting, the hymns and the prayers and the readings, I thought I don't even need to read them again because this is all was part of my sermon today. So really thankful that the Lord allowed that to happen for me, so he confirms that's what we need to hear today. Also, even in the Sunday school, there's a couple of the hymns we sang. It complies with what we're going to hear today. Maybe we should ask the Lord to help us in the speaking here. Our God and Father, we do thank you that you are so gracious to us, and you send the Lord Jesus Christ to be our shepherd and the one who gave himself for the sheep. But also, even in the Old Testament, you stated yet that you are the shepherd. So, Father, we do thank you that you give us this subject today and help us to just reach every one of us with whatever we need. We don't need we don't know the needs of each other. I don't, but you know. And Father, we ask you to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. The first slide here, I should get that. Rob, can I get this? Where's the? Is there a remote I can use here to change forward and back? I just need to change it forward and back a couple of times, so. That's okay. Well, thank you. Okay. In our worship meeting this morning, we talked about the shepherd. We thanked the Lord for him accepting the role of being our shepherd. And the shepherd gave himself for the sheep. We have the first reading here in John chapter 10, 11 and 12. And if I can ask somebody to read that for us, maybe Andrew, you have your Bible there. Can you read that for us, or you can read it from here? Thank you. So we have three characters in this portion here. We see the good shepherd, and obviously there's somebody good, then it has to be somebody bad. There has to be a comparison. So then the bad shepherd, or the hireling who doesn't care really about the sheep, cares about himself. And then the third one is the wolf. And I'm suggesting that to bear in mind that the good shepherd is the Lord Jesus, and the bad shepherd is the world system which we are living in, and the wolf obviously is the enemy who is trying to catch us by any means. Up and down? Yeah. Okay. So in this is a good picture of who is the good shepherd. And he is the one who really gave himself for us. So if there is no reason for us to guess about that, because the Lord Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. But the second one, which is the world system, around us, which is the bad shepherd, the hireling, that's where we were. When you say those who came before me, I'm referring to every one of us before coming to Christ. What we was in, what he was in from day to day, that's what he was being shepherded by, the world system, the jealousy of the world, the fact that we are from day to day dealing with things which really is not godly. So that is what I'm referring to, or I am suggesting that this will be the bad shepherd. And then, when we are in this world system, when we are living in a worldly manner, then it's very easy to fall a prey of the wolf or prey of the enemy, the devil. The next portion I wanted to read is the Psalm 23. But just wanted, before we go to Psalm 23, I want to get the fourth, this one here. No, going back. Sorry. Oops. You said, okay. I want to get to this picture before we go back. And I want you to imagine that this is a sheep which is in the Lord's side, and it's part of the Lord's folk. And this is a fence between his ranch, would say the Lord's ranch, and the other side is where the other sheep, or the worldly sheep, or the one who is not cared for properly. And he's standing there, and he's saying to the other sheep, which is on the other side, look at me. I am under the lordship of the Lord. I am the Lord is my shepherd. And that's how I'm well fed, standing strong. And what about you? Who is your shepherd? How are you dealing with that? So we'll go back again to Psalm 23, and I'd like to Taylor to read it to us. I asked him to read it in a certain manner, so could Now you probably notice that he's reading it very fast, my point here is Psalm 23 is one of the most read and most repeated and most used. We use it in funerals, we use it in many areas, and yet I think it's the least understood or least dealt with. This morning, thank God, we had the worship meeting, and we did have a few quotations of Psalm 23, and the Lord is helping us through it. But I'd like to go a little deeper into Psalm 23, and I just want to give you a little bit about how I get to decide to study Psalm 23. I get into the habit lately of taking, in my morning reading, taking a psalm and read it along continuously until I memorize it. So I come chapter every day, for example, same psalm for 10 days, and then I go to the next second psalm while I read also the other part of the scripture, obviously. Now, when I came to that psalm, I thought that there's a lot of depth in that, and we are really missing it. And then while I was studying it, of course, 10 days going through it, I found a book written by a shepherd, who lived in South Africa, and he was meditating on the chapter in Psalm 23. His name is Philip Keller. I don't know if anybody read his book. Okay. And I thought that's fascinating thing. We could learn from it a lot. So I thought maybe we can, with my thought and the thoughts from this book, we could really learn a lot. So was doing that. We'll go to the next slide. Okay, now, first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, who is the Lord? I mean, this sheep which is standing, and I want this picture to be in our mind all the time. A sheep standing, there's a fence, and he's looking on the other side and see a bad taken care of, a bad land, ground which was taking, not taken care of, a slim sheep, you know, not well taken care of. And he's standing there and he's boasting of who is his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David, now, before he takes us to a journey of a year-round trip with him as a sheep and the Lord as a shepherd, he's going, because of his special experience as a shepherd, he's going to tell us who is this, who is his shepherd. There was a good shepherd in his time, no question about that, but his shepherd is the Lord. And three things in his mind, I believe, that about the Lord is, the first thing is the Lord is his creator. So as a creator, he has the right to own him by right, by being one of his creation. David is part of God's folk, but also by his knowledge, because the one thing about the sheep has to really know clearly, has to know clearly the sheep. You know, he goes through them, he checks them, he's careful about every condition of them. And there is a special relationship between the shepherd and sheep. But none of them can reach to this point where, maybe Mark, you want to read this verse for us, please? You can't see that? Okay, sorry. Okay, I'll read it here. This is in Psalm 139 from verse 2 to 6. And says, "You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You search my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it all together. You have closed me in behind and in front, and laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot go up to it." That's what David talking about his shepherd. Now, David had a special relationship with his sheep as a shepherd. And he would know, he would try to know every one of them and to know them by name. They give him some names. And yet, it can't reach any close to what the Lord knows about him. And that's why he's so boasting about the lordship of the Lord for him, because he knows everything about him. Now, the third one, it's not up there, but third one is the Lord as, which is, we read it in the first verse we read, the Lord as a redeemer, the one who gave himself for the sheep. David at one point was willing to give himself for the sheep, because you remember when he told Saul the story about the bear and the lion, and he fought them and was able to conquer them. That's how the the true shepherd, the good shepherd, would be. And we, for us, of course, our good shepherd not only was willing to give himself for the sheep, but he really gave himself for us. So when we stand on the other side now, talking about not the this place versus the outside here, but the whole household of faith, the whole people, the group who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have trusted the Lord, have been redeemed by the Lord. You look, and you look in the world with all the things which is good and bad in the world. And you look at it and you say, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not you. It's not what you want me to do as the world system. But it is the Lord himself. I follow him. I wanted to be really trusting him because I want to be fully dependent on him. So that's just an introduction to what we have in this. But then we come to the next slide here. And then David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Here my, I think we one of the things was sung in Sunday school, I'm his, he is my beloved, and I am his. So my beloved is mine, and I am his, in Song of Solomon. I think the picture is not clear here. We see a tag on the ear of that sheep. And by the way, I just want to thank David Nunn, who helped me very much in preparing these photos. And the so there is a tag here. What this tag says? It says that this sheep belongs to a certain shepherd, right? Now, what is your tag? What's my tag? Are we really, when we belong to the Lord, to our shepherd, what is your tag and what's my tag? Do people see, realize right away that we belong to Christ? Do we, in our outside appearance, in our dealing with others, in our dealing with ourselves, and in our behavior, in our how do we look? How do we handle things at work, at home, with neighborhood, with each other? Do we really have this tag on us that you belong to Christ? So the intimacy here, which the sheep is talking about, is much more than just being one of a large herd of sheep, and maybe 2,000, 3,000. No, but he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, who have the right to say that? I hope that every one of one sitting here would say that the Lord is his shepherd. It took the Lord to buy me. Yes, he owns me by creation, but it took him to buy me to be his own sheep. It took him to put his life on the cross to die for me. Would you love to come to be part of this fold? If you are not today, I think the time is now to think, to see and to enjoy the lordship and the leadership of the shepherd, of the good shepherd. Now, when David is talking about a shepherd here, obviously, to the world, what's a shepherd profession anyway? To the world, it was really despised profession. From the history, if you go back to, for example, when Joseph was bringing his brothers to Pharaoh, he didn't tell Pharaoh that you are shepherds. He said, tell him you are livestock carers, because shepherds in Egypt was despised. That's why when Moses has to flee from Egypt, the Lord intentionally make him to accept the lowest position, which is the shepherd who was tending the sheep of his father-in-law, just to bring him down from where he was as the possible son, possible Pharaoh's son, to be the so. Did I mix between Joseph and Moses? No. Okay. So Moses was sent there, so was despised, and then David himself, he was tending his sheep's father, his father's sheep, and Samuel came to choose a king, his father didn't even bother to send for him, because who is he? He is a shepherd boy. He is not the one who will be a king. That's for the world. Now let's look at the world, how it looks out about our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't care about him. They don't respect him. But for us, for the sheep, the shepherd is everything. For the sheep, the shepherd is his provider, his doctor, his lover, his master. It's for the sheep, he has nobody else. He has only the shepherd to deal with, to help. And for us, for you and me, whom we have but you, the song said. Whom we have, Peter said at one point, whom we have, to whom we'll go, as the verse says, you have the eternal life. So we cannot go anywhere. Anywhere else is not going to help us. But our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one. So for the sheep, the shepherd is everything. Well, the next portion of the first verse, it said, I shall not want. Now, there's three things here in the I shall not want. The first one is providing. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So there's physical need. That will be satisfied by knowing our shepherd. We're not saying about our wants or our unrighteous desires, but he's talking about needs. And then he's talking about the emotional needs. For I satisfy the weary soul, and I fill fill every sorrowful soul. That's what the Lord does. He is not dealing with our only day-to-day needs, physical needs, but also he's dealing with our emotional needs. These days, when I talk to my family in Cairo, and they're going through a really terrible times with the Islamists in power and people fighting in the street and killing each other, the security, the safety is not there anymore. But the only hope and the only rest they have is in the shepherd, the good shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also when the word I want here, it have another meaning, not only from the point of view of the shepherd himself, but also from my point of view. You know, resting on my shepherd, knowing that he is the one who is taking care of everything. I really don't have to worry, don't have to want anything, because I know he will going to take care of that. It's an attitude of my heart. It's contentment, that I'm content that he is taking care of everything. There's no need for me to worry. I remember when we were in Yemen, Nelly had a friend, a Russian friend, which was living with her husband there, and she would visit with her, and she come and tell her, Nelly, why you are so relaxing and so, there is a lot of things to worry about and you just don't care. Is that your character? And Nelly should say, no, this is not my character. I'm came from Russia, so like you, I have been in a situation like you, but I know that I have somebody who is worrying about me, who's taking care of me. So I really don't want anything, don't care about anything. He is caring for it. So now, can you imagine now the sheep on the other side of this fence? What's their condition if they don't have this caring, loving sheep, a shepherd? Just sit in your office at work or in school with your peers. How much worry there? How much things happening in the world to for them to take care of? To continuously, there's no time to think of themselves or think of their special needs, but to keep going on and going on. It's like in a wheel. And that's what the other sheep is on the other side. But we can rest in the Lord. The next slide. Time is running. The next slide says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, this picture, we many times see this picture of a sheep lying down and resting and all that. But this is not the case with the sheep all the time. The sheep, there is always restless. There is always things which makes them unhappy. But this picture here, it only happens in the presence of their master, of their shepherd. The sheep will not lie down if their master is not there, if their shepherd is not there. Now I'm taking that from an experienced shepherd who wrote the book. So I'm not a shepherd. But that's what he's saying. There's no way that the sheep will have rest unless the shepherd is around them. So there is four things can bother the sheep before they be able to rest. They have to be first free from fear. And there is always, this book is talking about in his ranch, when a strange dog come to the area, or a cougar or anything come and start screaming or start they just hear the voice of a strange animal, and then they all scattered all around. They cannot rest until this thing is gone. So the only thing they can rest is if they get the fear out of them. If the presence of their master, their shepherd is there. And for us as believers, what takes the fear out of our lives? Only the Lord Jesus Christ. The only person who can take the fear out. Was it 1979 or something? There was a serious uprising in Egypt, and there was people killed in the street. Oh, no, I'm mistaken, maybe in 80 something. Anyway, and I was just here new, and I was so worried about my my mother and my family. So I called her and I said, how are things there? And aren't you afraid from what's happening and what might happen? And she said, no, everything is okay. I said, what do you mean everything is okay? And we hear all that and we know all that. And she said, yeah, it is terrible outside, but it is okay inside. It's inside, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ is filling my heart. So that's what a fear can do. The fear can scatter the sheep, can do a lot of trouble for the sheep. They will never rest. They will never lie down. But only the presence of their master, they look at him and they know they are safe. And for us too. And then the second one is a little touchy here, or come close to home, is the friction. And what is this friction? We read a portion of Ezekiel this morning, and I might be reading it again. The sheep, they have the habit of butting themselves against each other, fighting. They're just trying to take a certain place, so they try to push everybody around them to take that place. There's also, believe it or not, there's bullying among the sheep. There's one which take over, and he'll be one who is just the one who is everything in the sheep, and then the other sheep will scatter and will be all restless. And so I thought maybe we'll read what the Lord would do in these conditions. In Ezekiel chapter 34, and I read a portion of that this morning. Verse 16. I will seek that which was lost. And that's the chapter when the Lord talking about the sheep, and he being a shepherd too. He said, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. So it's a picture of how the Lord will deal with us as a group of believers when somebody wanted to take over and be bully. Bully in the assembly, but somebody taking charge and trying to be the prominent person, the one who the Lord does, taking the place of the Lord. There was somebody in the assembly in the New Testament at the John, First John, Third John, I think verse 9. Can read that too. First John chapter 9. Third John, I said. Sorry, Third John, verse 9. Third John said nine, verse 9. That's the gospel. The apostle John is writing. I wrote unto the church, but the Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. So that's one of the example of somebody in the assembly or in the church who is trying to have preeminence, and only the Lord himself the assurance of the presence of the Lord in assembly, the sense of his lordship and his headship is the one which make us all bow down before our head and ask him to take over the leadership and and to help us. Then the third one is the pests. They say that there's certain nasal flies which goes into the nose of the sheep and lay eggs there, and then the worms start getting into the head of the sheep and really drives them crazy, and the sheep will never be able to lay down or rest until that will dealt with. So how is the shepherd deal with that? What the shepherd does is he get an oil, mix it with some chemicals and put it on the head of the sheep, spread it on the head of the sheep, so this repels those flies from coming in. They don't come in, so they're protecting it. And as we know, the oil refers to the Holy Spirit. So if we are guided by the Spirit, and if we are protected by the Holy Spirit, then we can really, these bugs which we have it from day to day. There's a lot of bugs in my life, in your life, but if we give in to the leading of the Spirit, this is the only way to take that bugs from our. I don't know if about you, but in many times in my life, you know, I wake up in the morning, what am I going to do about this thing? What am I going to do about this thing? Oh, I have that problem. I have this problem. And it really filled my head with these nasal flies, which would really irritate me. But unless I really submit to the Holy Spirit and to his love, and have done that, and then at this point I said, Lord, here I am. Just lead me wherever you want. I mean, anyway, I'm not in control of these things. So you take care of it. And then the Lord will take care of it for sure. And then he can have the rest. Then the last thing, which is prevented the sheep from lying down, is the hunger. And obviously, he leads them to this pasture, green pasture, in order to eat, right? So what helps us in this condition is to feed on the Word of God. So if we are not fed with the Word of God daily, then we will not have this rest. We're not able to lay down and rest. The only thing, if we can have these four fears, 4 points taken from us, depending on the Lord and depending on the Holy Spirit, and doing the right thing as far as sheep concerned, we don't need to do a lot. It was not required to do a lot. It was required to submit to the leadership of the Lord and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Then we really can have this rest on the rock and lie down in green pasture. Obviously, I'm not able to finish the whole chapter. I'm still in verse 2, in the middle of verse 2, but I'll just probably will transfer the rest of the chapter to somewhere else. So maybe in a couple of weeks or a couple of months we can continue, or in the evening maybe, but I just wanted to go for the last two, have 5 more minutes, the last two slides here, and just get a couple of thoughts there. I wish I had more time to do that, but it's really, I really, it was fascinating for me to study this, and I'd like really to get that through with everybody. But well, let's go. So now we have the sheep have rested in the Lord. Okay, and then he's still, this sheep is still in the ranch of the master. They haven't gone out yet. We haven't got out on the journey. There is a 1 year journey. He is now still in the summer, and then we will take him through the valley, and they will take him to the table. And I think who was praying this morning, Todd, and he was mentioning about the tableland or the plateau. So how the sheep will be were taken to the plateau to enjoy the presence of the Lord, and they just have to rest there, and then how they come back, and so it is a fascinating trip. We can take it through, but for now we know what can give us rest really. How can we lay down? And then this slide is talking about, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days in my life. Then the sheep has gone with the shepherd. We led them, of course, through the whole trip for a year round, and he's coming back home. And they really are satisfied. They have experienced the Lord for a whole year. Have experienced the shepherd for a whole year. And their experience with the Lord, at the end, they were able to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the day of life. When the Lord have shepherded them, have helped them, have protected them, have provided them for a whole year, why don't you expect him not to do that next year and the year after and the year after? So that's what we should learn, really. We have seen the goodness and the mercy of the Lord in our lives once and again, once and again. Why would we worry about anything after that? You know, we know that the one who took care of us, he will take care of us again. He will, you know. So when you talk at the, when we think about the future, what's the future hold? We don't know, but we know one thing, that he is there. And if he is there, as he was yesterday, so that nothing to fear. So that's where, and then the other point is, and I wish I explained that a little bit more, but for the time's sake, there is not only the sheep have been satisfied with what the shepherd has done to them, but also they have left behind a track of balancing ground. This is a little thing, but anyway, I wish I have the time, but when they go back, okay, the way the pastor leads them through the way back, he allows them to go not in one direction, not in one line, but they have to go to spread all over to allow their manure to fertilize the land. So when they come back, this land become fertile and grow back again. And for us, what we're leaving behind, when you move from one neighborhood to another neighborhood, is it surely goodness and mercy shall follow you? Is the people in that neighborhood can say, oh, we're sorry that you're leaving, or they would be glad that you left this neighborhood and went to another one. When you leave your work and go to a different job, What the people at work will say, surely goodness and mercy he left for us is this brother or this person, or they were glad that you have left. That's where there's two things. We know that the Lord is taking care of us, who take care of us, and he will, but also we have left a good reputation and a good thing for people who are behind, whom we left behind. And then the last one is, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this is a sheep who came and is fully satisfied, is completely satisfied, and he wants nothing more than being in the house of that shepherd, nothing more than being in that ranch where the shepherd have taken them. Is that our feeling, or we sometimes think why the other group are having better conditions, where my neighbor have a better car, where my, am I fully satisfied with what the Lord has done with me, how he took care of me. And then also another thing is, he's not satisfied only with his master, but satisfied with his house, with his household of faith, with this group. Are we all satisfied here with each other? Are we happy to be together and to serve the Lord together? Is despite the fact that they had to fight, and they, but now they are home, and the time for them to pull together and help each other and get things done. We have a lot of things in the in this assembly office, a lot of work to be done. And if we concentrate on, yeah, I could do this better, and this brother who has problems, I would rather do it. This is work, and this, there's a lot of work. Every one of us has work to do. The Lord have given us gift. Maybe we just pull together and do. The people, the world around us, the neighborhood around us needs a lot from us. And maybe we just say to the Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm now home. I'm with you. And I want you to just direct me to what to do. And if anybody here, I'm repeating that, if anybody here who has not yet entered into the fold, into the Lord's sheep in the fold, please just talk to anybody from the elders here, and it is really enjoyable. You cannot compare the Lordship or the shepherd we have with any other shepherd in the world. So may the Lord bless this word. Lord, pray. God and Father, we do thank you that we can come to you as our shepherd. Our everything you do provide, and you do help, you do care for us, but also, as we know, that you can discipline, you can ask us to do things, and as we go our ways, help us to just be under your leadership, under your will, that the Holy Spirit may guide us what you want us to do. Father, we have neighbors. We are not by ourselves. We have co-workers. We have students with us at schools. Help us to just shine for you, just to let them know that you are my shepherd. In your name, amen.